Amen. Thanks, guys. Thanks, team. Awesome. Let's turn with me, if you have your Bibles. I want to read from actually the Passion Translation. And the title of my message this morning is Stretch Out Your Hand. Stretch out your... this morning, it's Luke 6. I've pretty much stayed in Luke. I've only got to chapter 6 since almost the beginning of the year. And stretch out your hand. I want us to just lift our faith this morning to believe that God's going to do some miracles. I heard Scott Morrison said that he believed in miracles. That was pretty cool. And just on that, the first time that we've actually, for a long time that we have the same government in power and the same Prime Minister. That's pretty funny. anyway, who knows, there's someone greater than the Prime Minister, someone greater than what political party that you vote for. And this is all about this morning, this entire scripture. It's actually more to it than meets the eye. And so I want to go there a little bit this morning. Luke 6, 6 to 10, Passion Translation. Good on you guys, thank you. On another Sabbath day, on another what? Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. In the room with him was a man with a deformed right hand. Everyone watched Jesus closely, especially the Jewish religious leaders and the religious scholars, to see if Jesus would heal on a Sabbath day. For they were eager to find a reason to accuse him of breaking the Jewish laws. Jesus, knowing their every thought, said to the man with the deformed hand, "Come and stand here in the middle of the room." So he got up and came forward. Jesus said to all who were there, "Let me ask you a question. Which is better, to heal or to harm on the Sabbath day? I have come to save a life, but you have come to find a life to destroy." One by one, Jesus looked into the eyes of each person in the room. Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your arm and open your hand." With everyone watching intently, he stretched out his arm and his hand was completely healed. Who enjoys reading great stories in the Bible? And here we have on another Sabbath day, on another church day. I can see that you're all cold this morning, but let me try and warm you up a little bit. You know, I like a little bit of interaction. On another church day, something's going to happen in the house of God. On another day where we meet together, where people are worshiping God, there is an expectation and an ability for the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. Let's not underestimate what God can do through you and I this morning, and through the power of just a little bit of faith between all of us to see what God can do and the miracles that He has in hand for you and for I. You see, it's not just another church day. It's a miracle working day. It's not just another day where you're, "Oh, ho, hum, I'll come to church because that's what I've got to do. Got to get to the house of God because otherwise he might strike me down." That's not the attitude that we have. It's an attitude of freedom, and it's an attitude, "I'm so glad to come into the house of God and worship him because he means everything to me." And so Jesus' purpose on going to the synagogue at that time, in the early days, my son would say in the ancient of days, was to teach the Word of God. Who thinks it's good to teach the Word of God when you come to church? And good things happen to men. Oh, these days you've got to say men and women, don't you? Okay. It's good things happen to men and women when they attend the house of God. Miraculous things are possible. Your faith grows through being in His house. In Judaism, study and interpretation of the Torah are forms of worship. I found this commentary that talked about the Jewish way of doing life and the synagogue way. You see, they say that to honor God, One honors the text that reveals God. There is a reference that Jesus had a pattern that each Sabbath day he taught the word of God in the temple. And when you speak the word of God, it has power to transform your life. There is no doubt about it that God has come with power through the words in this book to transform who you and I are. And so the more we meditate on the word of God and realize what the gospel really means, the freer we will become. Would anyone like to be freer today? And so, I don't know about you, who'd like to have less hang-ups? Who gets hang-up? Don't put your hand up. Who gets hang-up on stuff? Who gets irritated by the little things? I'm keeping my hand in my pocket. Who'd like to have less negative thoughts? Less worry? Less anxiety? No more fear. That's what God's word says. All those things are possible. Who thinks you're going to be the best employee at your work when you're like that? See, one on another Sabbath day, on another we read in the opening verses of this chapter in Luke 6. So we go back to even verse 1. Now it happened on the second Sabbath day after the first that he went through the grain fields and his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. I don't know how they managed to, the Pharisees, but they saw this as harvesting and working on the Sabbath day. I want to say something here. Jesus is not trying to catch you out. His desire is to bring freedom into all areas of your life and mine. And so, yes, we need to obey his word. Who knows, that's got a good policy. Obey the word of God. It's going to go well for you. Because that's where the freedom lies. But let's also remember that Jesus hung on that cross and took on all the evil of the world for you and for me to set you and I totally free. Now that is an amazing thing. And when we really get what Jesus did on the cross, when we really get the gospel, because it's good news, because Jesus was on that cross and he suffered. When Jesus was on that cross and he bled, when Jesus was on that cross and he was actually had the spear put through him, when Jesus was on that cross, and you know, people get offended today because Jesus, it was such a gruesome, but he did it for them. He did it for you. And it's from this perspective that it's easy to obey his word. Because we know he has the best intentions for you and for me. When Jesus is prepared to go to those kind of limits for our salvation, is anyone pleased that it is the gospel is just great news? And so Jesus quotes scripture back to the Pharisees. Luke 6, 3 and 4. Have you not even read this? All right, so they're talking about the husks and they're doing the grain on having something to eat because they were hungry. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he went into the house of God, took and ate the showbread, and also gave some to those with him, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. David is on assignment from God. Is anyone on assignment from God today? Couple on the front row. Is anyone on assignment from God today? Would anyone like to be on assignment from God? We're all on assignment the moment we accept Jesus into our life. We have something in us that has to actually bring resurrection life to others. It's part of the DNA of having Jesus in our life. And so David was on assignment. Jesus, interesting, brings this up. The Jews would have known this. The Pharisees would have known this. And Jonathan had shot arrows, short story. warning him not to return to Saul's camp because, well, the king was going to take David's life. And so David flees for his life. And David left behind his closest friend to go and serve the Lord. And it was a time of placing God first. Both Jonathan and David knew this. You know, David ran to a place called Nob. He went into the temple there. This is what Jesus was referring to in the New Testament. He asked the priest for 5 loaves of bread for him and his men. And the priest says to him, "I don't have any, but you can take the holy bread, for we have nothing else." And it kept them until they reached the cave of Adullam. And in 1 Samuel 22, the first part, it says this, "And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him." Jesus was showing the Pharisees that his life was to represent those who are in distress, who are hurting, who are discontented, disillusioned, and to bring hope. Jesus is a God that brings all kinds of people together and makes something powerful, and it's called his church. And here we have a beginning of a new nation under King David, and the lineage goes through to David, to Jesus, and we see the amazing things that Jesus was able to refer to because it was all in God's plan. You're in God's plan today. How incredible is this? It's an amazing thing. And so I want to ask a question. Who are you aligned with? Who are you really aligned with today? Which is better, Jesus says, to heal or to do harm on the Sabbath? I have come to save a life, but you have come to destroy it. And Saul ordered, this is amazing. When you look into this, it's quite remarkable. And I think it's why they became so violent, wanted to get rid of him right there and then, if you read the whole chapter. You see, Saul ordered all the priests located in Nob to be destroyed, fulfilling the will of God and sparing David's life. Any man who tries to control others in the name of religion is going to be overrun by Jesus. Jesus always brings freedom. And men will always oppress others when they have their own agenda and go against the purposes of God. Can we be a people that are not controlling but actually allow Jesus to actually have first place in our life and allow the love and the freedom of God to flow through us? What a great world that would be. The Pharisees. Don't you know it's the Sabbath? You can't heal on the Sabbath. Ahimelech, one of the priests that gave David the showbread, he knew that David had been called. In God's kingdom, human need will always trump human law. In God's kingdom, human need will always trump human law. And Jesus says, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. David possessed the authority as an up-and-coming king to set aside the law to fulfill his mission. Jesus continues and he talks like this, fellas, the priest gave him the showbread, which ordinarily would have been forbidden. And Jesus is saying, my authority is even greater. My authority as the Son of Man trumps all. Who'd like to have more authority in their life through the name of Jesus today? We can all have this kind of authority. My authority to help a man in distress. My authority to restore. My authority to bring hope. My authority to help those less fortunate. My authority to heal. My authority to break the chains of sin forever. My authority to right your finances. Jesus is saying, this is who I am. I am the authority. I'm the authority over all other authority. You will never be able to stop the nature of God. I have come to bring freedom into your life. I have come to restore. I have come. You know, it's not about which political party, because this is where the Jews were heading, which political party gets in or who's right and wrong. It's about the freedom that comes through the true King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, over heaven and earth. And it really doesn't matter which political party gets in, because Jesus is still our Lord. And so we have the answer within us, and we don't get free from fear regardless of who's in power. Why do the Chinese, why do some of these other people have such great success with Christianity? It's because they step into the faith realm. They step into living their life through the power of God working through them. And when we have that kind of a faith, wow, watch out, Fremantle. Watch out whatever suburb you're in. See, the Pharisees watched him closely, the Bible says. Watch means to spy out. And Jesus challenges them. Of course, it's permitted to do good. Anyone like to see good things happen in the world? Of course, it's permitted to do. Did anyone think it'd be good to do some good things in church today? Of course, it's permitted to save a life. And this man, the man with the withered hand, he's not at death's door. But he does not, in Jesus' view, have a full life. Because he's deprived of the use of his hand, his right hand, the hand used for working, for gesturing, for greeting. And I have found over my time as a pastor that many people think their ailment, their problem, is not that serious. Others are worse off than me. They should get prayer. And many years ago, I used to suffer from styes on my eyelids. And sometimes I wouldn't be able to open my eye properly, and I'd go through the night and I couldn't open my eye because of these styes just... They don't know why, they just kept coming. There was nothing I could do about it. One day, I'd had enough of them. Sometimes you've got to get desperate, right? And it's really just a little thing. It certainly wasn't life-threatening. But, you know, when you're a teenage kid and you can't open your eye and you've got to go to school, it's a bit of a problem. And my mum was a Christian. And I said, Mum, can you pray for my eyes? You know, I keep getting these styes over. She said, sure, son. And from that day on, I never had a stye again. Never. It was only a little thing. But Jesus has authority. I wasn't in danger of dying. All she really said was, Jesus, please heal Nigel's styes. In Jesus' name, amen. That was pretty much it. But I tell you what, there's power behind any prayer that we pray in faith. And God cares about the small stuff and the big stuff. And we should not limit God in what we can do and what he can do over our life. Last weekend, I think it was last weekend, I actually had a bit of flu and I didn't actually make it to church. But I tell you what, I laid hands on my head. In Jesus' name. I did. You're laughing. But if Jesus is going to heal me, I'd rather actually, in Jesus' name. And so I said, Lord, in Jesus' name, I rebuke this flu. Let it go in the name of Jesus. And I stomped my foot. Well, it lasted 2 days, and I'm good again. You see, I could have lasted a week, could have lasted 2 weeks, but I look. Was it a coincidence? Well, I'm putting it down to the name of Jesus. Come on, let's give God a go. Do we believe in God? Well, why don't we do things that actually bring his presence into our life? More of that, hey? 2 seconds prayer. Well, a bit longer, but, you know, a short prayer in Jesus' name. There's nothing wrong with putting hands on yourself. And, hey, most of the time for me it works. So why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't you either? Because it's the same Jesus. I'm not special. We're all special, actually. We're all very special people. You get the message, right? I'm just trying to bring some, you know, I'm bringing some history, but also want to believe that the power of God's going to move this morning. Can you help me? This commentator, I liked what he said, Robert Tannehill, about when there's an opportunity to receive healing or prayer for a certain thing, or when you've preached a word like this. This is what he said, and I thought it was very powerful considering this. He was talking about this passage. The failure to do good is actually doing harm if an opportunity is lost. The healer may not be present tomorrow. In such situations, refusal to heal is an act with harmful consequences. In the context of this passage, we'll read on. The opportunities you and I are presented with are opportunities for that moment to do good to others. And every time we come into God's house, there is an opportunity for God to do good for you. Every time you come into God's house, there's an opportunity for God to do good for you. Do you believe that, church? Every time you meet together, two or three are gathered together, there's an opportunity for God to do good for you. Every time you lift up the name of Jesus at home, even on your own, there is an opportunity for Jesus to do good for you. Whenever we lift up the name of Jesus, there is power that comes from heaven to bring an incredible release into our life. Demons flee, the Bible says, at the name of Jesus. No demon, no dark thing can stay in your life when Jesus is invited into you, into the situation. And so every time we talk about stuff like this, there's an opportunity for God to do good. And so here's Jesus, and he calls the man into the middle of a huge crowd of people. And Jesus says, stretch out your hand. The guy wasn't thinking, I don't like all the attention on me right now. He wasn't thinking, you know what? I think I'll wait for next time. Stretch out your. Can we stretch out our faith this morning? You see, the faith is in the stretch. In the immediate, yes, Lord, I want your touch on my life. Can we say it together? Yes, Lord, I want your touch on my life. I'm not waiting. I believe now. I believe now. I'm not waiting. I believe now. The presence of God is here to bring healing into people's lives this morning. The presence of God is here for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what started at the team meeting, for those of you who are here, to get a real flow of the heavenly language of speaking in tongues, because God wants to bring freedom into our life and give us wisdom for our future. And we edify ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit coming into our life. And so this morning, before we finish, we need to be thinking, Lord, what can you do for me? What is it that I've been worrying about? What is it that I've been thinking about? What is that ailment that I've let go for months and months and months, but it's still there? Can we believe together this morning that God wants to touch your life and transform you? Bring healing into your world. So before we finish, we're going to do this. Let me read. Let me tell you, I'll get the music team to come. I'll just tell you this story. I'd probably just need the musos. I probably don't need the singers, truth be told. Thanks, guys. good-looking music team. I read a story recently. I cannot confirm what happened at the end, but the story I did read of some rugby players who flew to Ireland to watch a rugby match. And when they got off the plane, there were no customs officers waiting to receive them. So the story says that a few of them, let's just say three, went into the official booths and they put on the caps that they found there and inspected and stamped the passports of the people who were arriving. They had no authority, right? But it seemed to work, at least for a little while. It doesn't say how this story finished, but this is my guess is this is how the Pharisees thought about Jesus. Now, if we look at the context of the day, and maybe you unwittingly think the same this morning, Jesus held no public office in the day. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a member of any political group. He had no formal training. Yet there he was in the airport arrival lounge telling people what to do, giving some people permission to do things that they were normally never supposed to do. Who does he think he was? And here's the thing, the Apostle Luke is most concerned in his writing of this gospel letter about who Jesus thought he was. And so I want to ask this morning, who do you really think Jesus is? Because Jesus knew who he was. And if Jesus knew who he was, who do you really know? Who do you really trust in? Is it yourself or is it going to be Jesus today? Because there is great power in the name of Jesus. And Jesus knew who he was. He was transforming a whole nation. He was bringing in change because freedom is never going to come from human law or human religion. Freedom can only come from one place. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who created from the beginning, the one who is the Alpha and Omega, the one that is going to actually transform us from who we are now into a better person by the time we get old and grey, because he makes us sweeter. He makes us more enjoyable with others. He gives us something that we can't do on our own. His name is Jesus. Does anyone agree with me this morning? Can we stand to our feet, church? You see, Jesus knew he was the Son of Man. He knew he was God. Can we believe this morning together? Well, you know who God is. Can we lift up our hands if you'd like to? Can we believe God this morning for the miracle-changing power? You see, God's new world was breaking in at that time, and it's still breaking in. God's new world. And Jesus will always place human need before anything else. And Father, today we lift up your name. Father, today we agree together, Lord, that you are our healer. You are our provider. Today, Lord, we ask for the full baptism of your Holy Spirit and speaking in that heavenly language. Lord, we ask today that you would fill us afresh with your power. Was anyone in the house believe with me today? Let's believe together and see the power of God come. And if today you need healing of any kind, will you come forward, please? Just come out of your seats, come forward. The meeting's still going. We've got plenty of time this morning. You need healing. You know that you need healing. Please come. Those of you who on Tuesday night at the team meeting, that the Holy Spirit and you started, or maybe you were close to receiving the full baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in that language, the heavenly language, please come forward too. We'd love to pray with you. I've asked Pastor Steve, Pastor Charlie, to help me this morning. Just please come. Those of you who need healing, you're on this side. Fantastic. Those with the Holy Spirit, why don't you come on this side? Please come. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel. Let's believe what God's done for us and accept the full power of God on us today. In Jesus' name. Let's just lift our faith. Thanks, Jared. Let's just sing a little bit of a song and then I'm going to pray for some people. You can take that away, thanks. Sukirarabashalabaranda.
In all creation, everything with breath repeat the sound. And all his children, clean hands, pure hearts, good grace, good God. His name is Jesus. Sing wide, and all ye heavens, let the praise go up as the walls come down. All creation, everything with breath, repeat the sound. And all his children, clean hands, pure hearts, good grace, good God. His name is Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just softly, guys. Yeah, we're going to pray for some people. Father God, awesome. Yeah, start praying, Steve, for the people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray for some people to be healed this morning. Blam, are you here for healing? So all these people here, all healing, is that right? Everyone here healing. Fantastic. Can we believe together, church, those of you that are well? Please, let's just lift our hands. Let's believe today for transformation. Father God, oh, Father God, Lord, we believe. Father, healing power of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm bringing you into a new freedom and a new joy, says God. And there has been some conflict on. Oh, but the freedom's there. And Father, today we thank you, Lord, for total healing and total freedom in Jesus' name. Usikara ba shika bo huyayamba. Usikara ba shaka basura bashara baranda. Set free. Set free. Set free. Set free. Usikara bashaka basura bashaka basura bashaka basura baranda. Father God, Father God, if there's more people, maybe you've got a few words on Tuesday night, but you'd like a flow, please come and join the queue. Steve wants to pray for you. Let's just believe for the full empowering of the Holy Spirit on your life. Father God, I'm just going to put the mic down, pray for some people.